Welcome everybody to the PlayStation 5 Central Podcast. I am your host, Dan Allen, and I'm joined by Jordan, the gallivanting man. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Very well. And we're joined by the Mark himself, Jackson Marshall, on film. How are you, mate?
G'day. Very well, thank you. Pleasure to be here. I understand you've been trying to chase my agents and booking people for quite some time. I know management can be a pain, but we had to come to a figure, a deal, a contract that made things agreeable for both parties. And I'm glad that we have. When was our last here? Was that for the Uncharted podcast? When did that come out?
Uncharted movie. Yeah, that's movie, right. Yeah. We reviewed that brilliant film. Did that win the Oscar in the end?
I might have walked away with a Razzie. I'm not sure about
that's
an Oscar.
Close to a Razzie, yeah. That movie just did nothing, didn't it?
When we have a look here, though, in terms of money, it didn't do that bad. Sixth highest ever grossing video game movie. Film. Yeah. And it pulled in production budget 120 million, box office just over 400. You know, so it made him a bit of money. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw something else in the future.
Hey, have you been, Jordan and Jackson, before we get into this?
Really well. This is my first week back at school, so feels like it's always a bit of a kick in the teeth the first week getting back. Yeah, other than that, doing pretty well.
You've been starting Final Fantasy, Jordan. I know that, but you're probably a bit early to talk. But Jackson has been playing Baldur's Gate 3, which I've, you know, gushed about on this podcast for a number of weeks. And finally, someone else has played it around here. Jackson, how are you going with it? 30 hours, 40 hours in?
Jordan, why have you not played it?
I just don't think it's for me. I can see that it would be appealing for others. For me, I just look at it and I'm like, that doesn't look as entertaining or as engaging. And I also look at the time sink required. And I just don't think I have it in me, especially when I look at how long it took me to beat Elden Ring. Like, it took me a long time because I just don't have the same time during the week to play as I used to. I sort of waited out and I'm like, I could play a few shorter games or I could spend a lot of time playing one that I'm not convinced I'm going to love either. That was sort of the way I worked it.
What's on that? What's on that second shelf behind you, Jordan? And by the way, I like this microphone arm setup and that fake plant, the water in Canada, looks great. What's on that second shelf behind you?
My Game of Thrones books.
Yeah, have you read them?
Oh, I love them. But do you know? I've already talked about this on the podcast. It doesn't go into Gleep Glop on the Floop De Doo's territory. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't go full Dungeons and Dragons territory with Game of Thrones, which is what I think Baldur's Gate does.
Well, you think it's too nerdy?
It's not that it's too nerdy. It's that it's too high fantasy for me. Mixed race.
So how far do you go? How far will you go with the nerdiness?
Like, Game of Thrones and Lord of the Rings are like as far as I go. But as soon as we start getting mixed race, sort of walking cat people and that sort of stuff, that's the line. That stuff doesn't...
But what about Diablo? You played Diablo. That was going a bit far.
Yeah, I sort of disagree because it was pretty much like, I know there's like angels and demons and that sort of stuff, but then that also had dark. the gameplay that hooked me.
Different gameplay altogether.
That's fair enough. That checks out. The way I was going to position this was, what if you could play out those Game of Thrones books and have that in a video game, and you still, much like Sea of Stars, you do have the RPG elements, you have the party elements, you have it when it comes into battle, that if you choose to go in depth with strategy in terms of, okay, all my characters look like they could fight at the same time here, who am I going to pick first? Or you could make it more simple than that. And if you don't want to go down the rabbit hole of every character's backstory, or you want to clear those areas an hour or 2 hours at a time, and then that might be it for a week, you can play it like that. Sure, the time sink element is there. If you've got those 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hour sessions, whatever it might look like, go for it. And yes, the main story will take you some time. Yet, if you want to leave stones unturned, you can do so. Imagine if you were just going to watch Game of Thrones and all you saw throughout however many seasons there were, because I never finished it. I can't quite remember off the top of my head. Imagine if all you ever saw were Tyrion scenes, right? Yeah. It'd still be a banger of a show. Would it be a complete experience? Maybe not, yet you'd still enjoy it. So perhaps if you could apply that logic to something like Baldur's Gate 3, where you're right, you don't have to go right into the fantasy elements. And if you don't want to have a walking dragon character like my main player character is that I created for it, you don't have to. Much of your party are human, or pretty much everyone is humanoid. And you don't have to look at becoming like a druid, for example, who is going to shapeshift. You don't have to necessarily play as someone who's going to cast all these spells if that's not what you what interests you. And if you don't want to explore these characters' backstories who you're likely going to meet along the way, you can tell them to piss off. If the idea of bringing in a vampire to that world, despite him being one of the better characters in the game, is certainly more appealing when you meet him early on, isn't really for you.
See,
again,
Jordan,
you could just be like, I don't want to do it.
He's doing a better job of convincing than I am, isn't he? That's why I brought him on.
I don't want to speak too negatively of these aspects either, to say, you know, you to be like, oh, well, if you don't like something, just throw it away, because chances are that these characters that you meet early on may later on make choices based on how they approve you and based on the choices you make to then be like, oh, actually, I don't really like you that much. And then some characters who you meet early on, they might be like, oh, I don't really get this person, don't really care for them. They have something interesting happen. It'll just be along the quest and you go, okay, you know what? I do want to find out more. But if you've got something else here that you've heard about that you're not too certain on, I'd love to debunk
Jack, is this a game you typically play?
No, because I'm also afraid of the time sink. I would much prefer something more straightforward. In saying that, I did play Marvel's Midnight Suns prior to this, which I allowed myself to get lost in for about 90 hours. And in reality, probably had a 45-hour campaign. So I doubled that simply by grinding, which if you'd asked me 10 years ago while I was playing video games, I had no hope of ever doing. It didn't interest me. So maybe it kind of is. But certainly the turn-based elements, and I also have some D&D knowledge from playing tabletop stuff.
You've played it,
The past 12 months, and it's only been with the one group of people. We're just on our second campaign, and our first campaign was my first experience. That's given me some foundational knowledge, and if I hadn't have enjoyed that, there's no way I would have played Baldur's Gate 3, because Baldur's Gate 3 is set within
Think that the D&D experience went hand-in-hand with the game? If you didn't do that, you probably wouldn't have played the game?
It wouldn't have led me to make such an early decision where the weekend at the game launch, despite myself saying, hand on heart, I'm going to beat Midnight Suns. I'm not interested in playing anything else. I've still got a backlog of games like Cyberpunk and even Starfield that I was looking forward to at some point. I'm thinking, all right, I can't get Baldur's Gate 3 here. But once those reviews came in, I had seen some footage. I thought, all right, it's launch weekend. I've got to get this game. I'll pay full price. I don't care.
Yeah. Jordan, is he convincing you or not?
Not really, and it's not because I don't know.
Are you unconvincible? Is that a word?
No, I just look at it, and I know, and like I'm not by no means. Am I saying it's like bad or anything like that? Because it's clearly not.
And I
wouldn't dream of saying that. I just look at it, and I know like the sort of vibe of games that I normally stick with.
Yeah, it's like me with Zelda.
And like Zelda does not appeal to me at all.
Yeah, you're the same. Like, yeah.
The acclaim Zelda gets, I go, that's fantastic. I would not care less.
What I look at here, Jordan, as well, is that you do have that co-op aspect. And perhaps there could be people like yourself who may benefit from a free weekend available on PlayStation. Because if this is
you're not gonna sell me with co-op either.
He doesn't like co-op.
No, fair enough. But I say that because there were several people in my D&D party where we'd meet weekly who despite being PC gamers for years, waited for that PS5 release simply so they could have the different experience and then be able to co-op that. And that's what they looked forward to most of all. So, you know, maybe again, if there was that free weekend, you could try it and be like, oh yeah, look, let's kind of see how this goes, put in those 4 to 6 hours, then having made your decision. But if you want to discount it, go for it. You know, you guys made a great point there about Zelda. I'm sure it's been made many times. It's probably not for me either.
Before we move on this, Jackson, how would you sum up your time and has the game surprised you? What's got you hooked? What's made you hooked on the game, would you say?
Simply put, it's time well spent. And hooked on the game, it's paced very well. It's paced so well that it gives you enough to keep you engaged. And without hand-holding, there's little bits of information throughout that you never quite feel like you're wasting time or you're lost. Even if you're trying to clear out an area, clear out a dungeon, you might call it, and you're like, oh, where's this nook and cranny? Sure, you can Google things, but you almost feel like you're going to cheat yourself by doing so. You'd much rather just walk down a corner, open up another quest line, and go chase that to keep you playing without feeling completely addictive. It's not like an MMO where, you know, it's just one thing after another, after another, after another, and you're well aware, like, a bit like, wow, that you're going to easily sink 12 hours into this. There's enough variety in the gameplay, the opportunity to completely avoid boss battles simply by using, you know, a certain bit of conversation, or you pass a skill check. Maybe you deceive someone. I recently had a boss battle where I convinced a boss to just blow themselves up. And because we did that, we avoided the boss fight. We avoided the minions. And, you know, I could just walk around the entire area scot-free. I couldn't believe it. And in talking to a friend of mine who, well, you asked me before, Dan, I probably put in about 35, 40 hours. He's put in 100. And in his single playthrough of 100 hours, he never had an encounter like that.
Has he beaten the game, I'm guessing? Different play
styles. No, I believe he's in one of those later stages. Still hasn't beaten the game in 100 hours. You know, is it a bit of a save scum? For sure. But what good game isn't if you want to go back and explore those different options?
Have you met Raphael?
Yes. But there's not too much happening in that storyline yet.
And have you met the orcs that like to get it on?
Yeah, it's pretty early. It's pretty early. I did come across the barn having known what to expect in there.
Oh, okay. You already knew about it. Yeah, that's fantastic. Anyway, yeah, so I'd give it a 10. What would you give it at the moment, Jackson, out of 10?
Yeah, right now, after 40 hours of gameplay, it's going to get a 10 out of 10. We had said this offline, Dan. I told you it's got that special sauce where you know you're playing something pretty great.
Yeah, I think it'll win Game of the Year. Okay, let's move on to some of this news. Have you guys seen the leaks around Far Cry 7? Apparently, the story is going to be centered around a wealthy family that has... your family has been kidnapped by this conspiracy group called the Sons of Truth, and you have 72 hours, so game time, but 24 hours real time, to basically beat the game, save your family, which is an interesting concept. I don't know how much we've talked about this, Jordan. Have we talked about this? I don't think we have.
We talked about it over the weekend. Air. We talked about it when we're.
But an interesting concept where you've got 24 hours in game time, and there's always this timer. I'm guessing, yeah, it's an interesting. I can't think of another game that's done it. I think was there a Final Fantasy that did it? But besides that,
I think I mentioned to you that the only game I can think of, and I don't even know if it was implemented in the same way. I think it was like Final Fantasy 13 Lightning Returns or something like that, where there was like some sort of end of days doom scenario coming, and you would do quests, side quests, that sort of thing, and it would make the timer prolong, like it would give you extra time to go and do things.
Mm.
I'm pretty sure, I could be corrected on that, I'm pretty sure they had the same sort of scenario, but yeah, it's interesting that Far Cry, that has a tried and true formula at this point, which has had, are we up to 8 games now? Including like Primal.
Oh, there's New heaps. Dawn. Probably 10 Far Cry, Blood Dragon.
If you count that. So, you know, so it's probably 9, I reckon. Like there is there's a few, like it's a tried and true formula at this point. And it's interesting that they're starting to explore that a little differently. I wonder whether the reason that if these leaks are true, that they're exploring a different formula for a Far Cry game is because of Avatar. With that coming out, are they going, well, that's going to be
the new Far Cry.
Not even so much that, but just in this cycle, that's going to be our Far Cry game. Sort of like, you know what they did with Yakuza and Judgment?
Yeah, but is Yakuza done now?
No, it's still going. Like, it's still all going through, but the whole combat system's changed. It's turned into the turn-based game. And then, like, I think it's Like a Dragon that's moving forward that's going to be the more traditional, or it could be the other way around. But yeah, they're sort of doing that. I wonder whether that's the same methodology here, or I wonder if they're like, hey, let's try something new, because it's good to try new things.
Well, they've also got this new interrogation mechanic where you might, depending on your dialogue choices, you'll be able to get information out of the enemy, or maybe you won't be able to get information. So that's interesting as well.
Yeah. And I wonder whether that turns into one of those things where it's amazing the first 3 times you do it, and then by the time you get to the end of the game and you're interrogating someone, it's lost all its luster and it feels the same every time. Like, it's like, okay, clear out the outpost, get the last person, you know, button prompt pops up, interrogate them, you find out wherever you need to go next, and then you go there.
But I'm imagining this doesn't solve the main problem we have with Far Cry, where all you're doing is basically going into bases with a gun and shooting the enemies. This seems like that's going to happen. and then you'll do an interrogation.
It seems like that's just the primary objective now.
Well, that is Far Cry, but I mean, this is what we're saying, Jackson. We want them to innovate. I guess this is kind of innovating, but I kind of wanted the innovation from a gameplay point of view, which, you know.
So this timer that you're talking about, what other games did you mention that have this mechanic? Because one game that comes to mind is Majora's Mask. That had a timer of, I can't remember how many days, but if you don't complete the game in a certain time, eventually the moon crashes and then it's game over altogether.
Yeah.
And don't the Persona games have a timer as well? I doubt that anyone on this call has actually played one, but I believe Persona played 4 or 5 has a timer as well.
Like, I did play the first Palace of Persona 5. I played the first Palace of Persona 5, but then, dropped off. I'm not sure. It could very much be.
Persona's been on my backlog for 20 years, I think.
I believe it's based on, because it's all based on days, you know, you've got X amount of days and however you spend them is up to you. I can be wrong. Feel free to destroy my DMs with
I'm sure there's games that have done it. Yeah, but not a first-person shooter. Can't think of a first-person shooter like this that's done it.
Mm. No, so, but I guess then that gives you a sense of urgency to actually play the game as intended, which you could say, you know, in the Far Cry games, clearing out bases is intended, but not so much just sink 80 hours into it. You know, instead it's, hey, you got to pick where you want to go, which family members you're going to save, who you're going to allow to die.
But how would the side quests work with this formula? You know, there's always going to be this urgency. There's always going to be this urgency. You can never sort of take a breath. Could that
maybe
be annoying?
Maybe not one playthrough is ever the same.
Yeah, and I reckon if you golden path it, you'd be able to get it done easily. But maybe if you are, like, maybe you'll be forced to go and do side quests to level up gear and that sort of thing. And whatever time they give you, like, it's not going to be an unfair amount of time.
Oh, no. It'll be easy. I'm not going to be stressing about the time, but
I imagine there'll be times where they, like, cheat you out of time, though. Where they'll be like, you've been captured and you've been knocked out for 12 hours, especially towards the end of the game. I bet you it'll be towards the end of the game, you'll be captured. And depending how far you've got left, you'll always be given 90 minutes or, you know, an hour.
Oh, so it's a tight ending. No.
Yeah.
That would piss me off, kind of, because then there's no replayability.
No, for that ending part.
Yeah. No, I can see that happening. It's interesting that the in-game time is 72 hours, but the real time is 24. So maybe that's how they can get away with you being knocked out for 12 hours, because it's only going to be, 3 hours real time? I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, you'd lose 4 hours of real time. Having a look here, supposedly the Dead Rising games had deadline timers. I barely remember playing
them.
But maybe they did have timers. Yeah. We already mentioned Majora's Mask, the Persona series. Yep, they do have these deadlines. And aside from that, it really hasn't been anything else too often recently. But that goes to show you just how the video game culture, you could say, of gamers has changed. Because previously, you know, how often would you play a game for more than 15 to 20 hours, say 20 years ago versus now, especially with the glut of open world stuff we have?
That's exactly right. Our next story, Jim Ryan has stepped down as the PlayStation boss.
Yeah. And not just stepped down, but he's retiring. So it's not even just that he's like leaving or being asked to leave or anything like that. It's like he's actually retiring, which is pretty big, which
he's
sort of changes
the context
of the wording.
He's been with the company for 30 years.
Long time.
He's put in his...
Is that like PlayStation 1?
I don't think the PlayStation's been around that long. If someone wants to look
at it, it would have been in development in the early 90s. From what I remember, PlayStation were meant to partner with, it might have been Nintendo or Sega. It could even have been Atari, one of those three major players in the early 90s before things fell through. And eventually Sony went ahead and created their own disc-based console. It might have been Atari.
PlayStation 1, 3rd of December, 1994.
Yeah, so just before the PS1 came out. And it was Nintendo and Sony, Jackson.
It was. There you go. Yeah. Thank you.
But how long's he been in this role, Jordan, since the PS5?
So Sean, he took over from Sean Layden, who left extremely unceremoniously. And this would have been maybe 2018, 2019. because it was just before the PS5, which would have been 2020. So he took over from then. He oversaw the extremely successful PS5 launch, the not so successful PSVR2 launch.
So you were saying off air that you thought he was pretty good in the role, right?
Yeah, I think so. As a businessman, I think he cops a bit of flack because he's not as much of a personality as presidents have been. If you look at like Reggie over at Nintendo, Phil Spencer is now. But I don't think you need to be a good, you know, public face, you know, entertaining, funny face of the company to be a very good president. Because at the end of the day, that's what he is. He's the president of the entire company. So
I don't think I've ever seen him do a podcast or an interview or anything. No,
remember, very weird stuff. Remember how when the PS5 was coming out, he'd go and do like interviews with Wired?
But that wasn't video, was it? That was only
written. It was like written in transcript.
No video for some reason.
No. And he'd only rarely pop up. Like, did he pop up and announce the PlayStation Portal?
PlayStation Portal, yeah, maybe.
You know, he very rarely pops up. And you know what? It's worked. So, you know, PlayStation's in the place they are now, in part because of the work that Sean Layden did before, but also because of all the stuff that Jim Ryan leading the ship. Obviously, it's not all on his back, but he is leading the ship. That is, you know, sort of leading the gaming landscape as we know it in terms of consoles.
I think they don't give enough credit to Mark Cerny.
Oh, the architect behind it all. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very interesting seeing who people think should take over next because, you know, Mark Cerny's name's been thrown around. Herman Holst's name's been thrown around. And it just made me think that, yeah, okay, these people are obviously very successful at the things that they do. Being a president is an entirely different job. And I've never been a president.
Nah.
So like I can't say exactly what they need to do. But it makes me think of like at school how we have the school principal. And then underneath them, we have like assistant principals for well-being and curriculum. And just because someone's a really good assistant principal for the curriculum, which is, you know, what our kids are learning, how they're learning it, it doesn't mean they're actually going to be amazing at the principal role, which is a much more people management role in terms of the staff, parents, and kids. And I feel like I look at that and I'm like, okay, Herman Holst, you clearly have a very amazing, you have an amazing creative vision. You know, look at Horizon, look at the stuff you've overseen since taking over that like head of PlayStation Studios role. Doesn't mean you're going to be an amazing president though.
No.
I don't know. But there's no direct correlation there, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's put in 30 years of work. That's pretty impressive. I couldn't stay with a company for 30 years. I don't know if you two could.
No, I'd get bored.
No. I mean, maybe PlayStation, you probably wouldn't get bored working at Sony.
And the landscape's changed so much since he was with them in the 90s, so that probably helps.
Yeah, I'd love to know how much input he had over the 30 years. You know, I'd love him to do like an interview where he just reveals his 30-year journey, you know, or a book or something like that. But
you don't want to see him do a Sean Layden and just disappear into the smoke with no fanfare.
So what happened to Sean Layden?
It was like a tweet that Sean Layden was leaving and that was it. There was no follow-up interview.
Did he get sacked?
As far as we know, no, he wasn't sacked. And I can't imagine why he would have been sacked unless it's been NDA'd, but no, that would be pure speculation.
Okay. A couple more stories, guys. The PlayStation Portal pre-orders have sold out in Japan within 12 hours. So there is a bit of demand for this device, Jordan, in the Japanese market.
Yeah. You would think this would be the hotbed for the demand as well. Like, I don't think this is that surprising. It's amazing that it's sold out. It makes me wonder, what's the actual number there?
That's what I think. I think, is this a bit of a dodgy, you know, how many,
I don't know.
Is that only 5,000 units? You know, what is it? So,
yeah, I'm not sure, but yeah, it sounds impressive. You know what I mean?
No, that's what I mean. It's a marketing play. I think it's a marketing play. It sounds very impressive.
Because now it sounds like a hot ticket item, even if it's not, it sounds like it is.
Yeah. 100%.
I wonder how that translates to a more Western market where, you know, we don't. There's a want for handheld systems, but it's nowhere near the way it is in Japan and that sort of thing, where they go crazy for it. Like, and it is like the way most people would play.
I'm wondering why it sold out over there when I thought they like to play their games on the train and traveling and, you know, the tram or whatever. That's what I had in my mind, but maybe they don't care where they are. They just prefer the handheld experience.
I might be wrong. I thought it only needed to be played with Wi-Fi, and it doesn't even have to be your Wi-Fi. You could be at a friend's using their Wi-Fi to connect over to your PlayStation at your house with your Wi-Fi there. I could be wrong there, but that was my understanding, because I know that people remote play stuff, like when they go stay in a hotel, they remote play stuff back at their house. Yeah. I could be wrong.
I have done that before on an iPhone, so it is possible. Not that it was a great experience.
No, I can imagine not.
Hotel Wi-Fi. Look, I hope it comes to Australia so we can test it out. Not that I'm not super keen, but I'd be curious to test it out and see how it works.
Yeah, I'm keen enough to try it.
Jackson can't wait to buy one of these. Can you, Jackson?
Can't wait, man.
It's going to go real well with my Xbox Series.
I feel like, Jackson, you'd probably go all right with a Steam Deck.
Certainly. I do have a friend of mine who's purchased one, yet it seems pretty gimmicky, particularly if I'm going to play a game that would be better suited on a large 1440p screen as I'm using now.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's something more retro-inspired or an older game, sure. But, you know, look at the cost of, or have we got an Australian cost for what the PlayStation Portal is expected to sell for here versus the cost of a Steam Deck? If I'm seeing online prices of $200 USD for the PlayStation Portal, well, the Steam Deck is a heck of a lot more.
What's the Steam Deck in Oz?
It'd be like, I reckon, like 900 Aussie.
I've got here 64 gig is 800, 512 gig is 1200. Wow, so it's essentially the cost of a lower end mobile phone. Now, you know, you could brick that so that you could play other things on there and, you know, whatever you want to do, right? It's like a PC operating system. Could you brick a PlayStation Portal? Probably not. But there you go. There's your difference. If it really is going to be triple the cost for a Steam Deck, well, there's certainly a market there that would prefer that over something that it sounds like is going to have a heavy reliance on another device.
All right, last one, Jordan, the Naughty Dog fiasco. Can you explain this to us? Oh, what's going on over there?
So they've let go a whole bunch of staff. To be specific, because we do need to be specific with the staff that have been let go.
Yeah.
My understanding is it's a bunch of multiplayer contractors. So many of its contract workers specifically working on the Last of Us multiplayer project. Along with that, the person in charge, the principal monetization designer, has also left. So as of the end of September 2023, his LinkedIn now reads that he used to work at Naughty Dog. And it would appear as though the Last of Us multiplayer project has been put on ice, quote unquote. So it looks like we won't be seeing it anytime soon. Especially because, a bunch of people have been laid off. I think they're finishing up at the end of October, these people. Now, we don't know how long their contracts actually had left to run, because they are contract workers. They weren't like ongoing on salary. They were, you know, there for a contracted amount of time. Were they set to finish up at the end of November? Were they set to finish up at the end of December next year? We don't know. But that's sort of where it all sits at the moment. So,
Why do you think they didn't release the title in early access like Baldur's Gate did? Look at Baldur's Gate. They ironed out all the issues, came back and got massive 10 out of 10s. Why don't they put this out early access? Then they get less pressure from everyone involved and say, look, we're trying to
work this out. Has it been announced where this game's at?
Not really, no.
So who knows? Maybe there's nothing playable.
Yeah, but it's been years, Jackson. It's been years in development. I'm sure they're close. They were close. What happened was Bungie came in and were reportedly not happy with what they saw when Sony acquired Bungie. And then ever since then, it's sort of gone dark. So that's where we're at.
And all we ever saw was concept art. That was it. We saw
there
one
was leaked gameplay
art
footage
up.
years ago.
Oh, was there?
Remember that? Yeah.
No, I don't remember that. Oh, there you go.
So Part One had a factions mode for multiplayer, right?
Yeah, which was fantastic. Yep.
And then Part Two, the sequel, Last of Us 2, whatever we want to call it, has no multiplayer because this has taken a life of its own.
Yes. So this was supposed to be it. And then as it got closer to launch, it was like, okay, it's not coming. And they were like, it's not coming because it's going to be something bigger. Now, that came out in 2020. And all we really saw from then officially was a piece of concept art. And that's sort of it.
Yeah. And now we're heading into 2024.
Yeah.
So I think, is this game canceled at this point? I mean,
I don't think we'll ever see it.
The thing is, they don't want to put out that Naughty Dog. They want to keep their, you know, their record.
Yeah, which is why, Dan, that's exactly why I don't think Naughty Dog or PlayStation with their first-party studios would do an early access thing, because I don't think they would want to make themselves look vulnerable, look like they have any chinks in their armor. That's why I don't think it'll ever come out, and that's why I don't think it will ever go to early access, because that PlayStation, you know, internally, and I think from the outside looking in, they want to be seen as prestige. We are where you come to play the most premium of premium games,
complete products,
premium experiences, and complete products. We don't want to do, you know.
Yeah, they don't really do early access, do they?
No. Nope. Nope.
Yeah.
Which I think is a shame.
Do you think this is like gone down the road of a Suicide Squad type where there's a lot of microtransactions and stuff like that, and they've gone, oh, no, we can't do this. Look at the backlash all these other games are getting. If we put something like this, and it could be a good game, but if they've got all this microtransaction, you know, manipulation in there,
yeah,
that could be why.
There was a little bit of talk that when Bungie came and looked at it, part of their concern was, and this could be just speculation, it could be just rumor, they thought it wasn't monetized enough. The model that you've got isn't sustainable for keeping this game alive. So I think if we were to go back and look, I think that was part of their concern. They're like, I don't think you're going to be able to make enough money off this.
But you said earlier that they've sacked the...
Don't know if he's been sacked, just that he doesn't work there now.
The microtransactional guy who was leading now left. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It
sounds like the biggest cost, despite there being an opportunity to make more revenue, is the multiplayer for any game. And it's got to have sustainability. You know, how long did it take GTA Online to come out? Then consider how much money they've made off that. It's still a humongous risk to push out into the market. And perhaps now it has been too long that releasing it, everyone's moved on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I love the first one, though. I'm still keen for this, but I'm worried it is canceled.
As a side thing for a game. It was The Last of Us, which is one of my favorite properties. So I was going to be excited for the next game no matter what, whether it was a multiplayer thing or not. I would much rather them have not done this, made factions just a mode like it was in the first one and attached it to the second one. And then all this time and resources that's been spent on this thing that I don't think will ever come out now could have been spent on The Last of Us 3 or another IP, like a new IP. Yeah.
So but remember, there was going to be storytelling in this too. There was heavy storytelling elements.
Which makes me think, are they scrapping the multiplayer part of it? Yeah. Are we going to have like The Last of Us, you know, stories? Are we going to have like a side project that's not a numbered sequel, sort of like a Lost Legacy type deal, where we're going to have somewhere like another place we can go and explore to see how the virus took it?
Lost Legacy was fantastic.
It was, yeah. That formula works. You know, The Last of Us is a very interesting world too.
Lost Legacy, I'm not sure on the sales, probably nowhere near the Uncharted's normal figures, but it was supposed to be a DLC. So it probably did quite well for a DLC. I mean, you could probably still call it a DLC. Standalone. Right,
I've got a very reputable source from 2 years ago. a random commenter on Reddit. Lost Legacy had sold 5+ million copies by now, and Uncharted 4 had sold over 20+ million copies. So
it sounds right.
It sounds plausible. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to believe Reddit for a moment. So perhaps, you know, something at 5 million, it could recoup its costs for like a multiplayer version of Last of Us 2.
You reckon that they cost a lot these days? I don't know.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. You know, and with what it's going to cost then to have to focus on new content, You know, not even just the production of the game and getting it out there, but what are they going to do later on? If you think about dwindling player bases with something like Modern Warfare 2, is it? And Warzone 2.
Yeah.
You know, when that game was at its heights and peaks during COVID, we weren't seeing too many tie-ins with a comic book series like Spawn or Homelander and the boys in there. Yet here we are now, the player base is starting to dwindle, and now we're going the route of Fortnite, where how can we get these media tie-ins to increase the player base? It's funny now that's happening once the figures start to stagger. What could you do for Last of Us that's kind of, maybe it doesn't even have to work thematically, but there's going to be interest in? Maybe not a whole bunch. Perhaps they could just put money and effort into, hey, let's reskin Joel and Ellie to the actors from the TV show and
don't play the game as them
for $20. You know, how many people would pay $20 to play Joel with Pedro Pascal? I believe there's a lot of people who would. It's probably money better spent. By the way, if that comes out, I want royalties, Stan.
Isn't The Last of Us in Fortnite? I could be wrong.
I don't know. I can't confirm.
I know Kratos, Uncharted, Nathan Drake's in there.
It was teased back in April. Maybe it was an April Fool's.
Spider-Man's in there.
He's not
a PlayStation property, but
Joel isn't there. Anyway. All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on this game as we always do. But thanks for joining me today, you two lovely fellows. What are you guys going to play this week and through the weekend?
What are you playing, Jackson? What are you playing, man?
I think it's obvious.
Well, I did derail Dan's question much earlier, so I think it's pretty obvious. It's Baldur's Gate 3.
And Jordan, your Final Fantasy, Modern Warfare 3?
Yeah, I'll be on Final Fantasy. Oh, the MW3 beta. Yes, that's what I will be playing. I'm really excited for that. So I will be jumping on that, hopefully balancing that with some Final Fantasy 16 as well.
That is a balance.
And yeah, whatever balance I can manage to find. I should mention as well, after vehemently saying last week that I was never going to play it, or making that pretty clear, like right after the episode, Dan and I were chatting, I am committed to hopefully by the end of the year, but maybe over the summer holidays, hopping onto Cyberpunk and giving it a red hot crack, because I think I'm being a little bit too close-minded with it. I need to be a little bit more open to it, and. Because it is sort of up my alley. Like it is sort of like,
oh, definitely.
The first person shooter, you know, a bit of an open world. It is sort of my I need to not be so close minded. So I am going to give that a go over the summer holidays.
I think if that came out instead of 2020, if that came out this year, it would be in the running with Baldur's Gate 3 for Game of the Year.
That's some high praise.
Have you played Phantom Liberty, Jackson, or Cyberpunk?
I haven't played either, and I'd love to hear in 25 words or less what Jordan's take is on it for why he won't play it.
It never interested me from the start. I never bought into the hype, and just didn't get it.
And why haven't you played it, Jackson?
I was concerned with the state it came out at launch. I did have a number of friends who were interested in playing it, and then hearing their initial takes, seeing footage of them playing it, not just, you know, what's released online and what's put up in terms of bug reports. You know, these guys with quite high-end PCs, they weren't overly impressed. And I'm not exactly sold on a sci-fi open world RPG. It does sound like fun. And while I've enjoyed the Fallout games, for example, this isn't exactly my cup of tea. When I think kind of more open world RPG, I'm much more in line with something like The Witcher than I am with this, or with Cyberpunk, I should say, despite both being from the same developer. Perhaps, though, Phantom Liberty might be the way to go.
Definitely. Definitely check it out. Idris Elba's phenomenal. He really is. He actually steals the show of Keanu Reeves. I'm telling you. And I love Johnny Silverhand. But Idris is fantastic.
It's such a ridiculous name, isn't it? What's Idris Elba's name in this?
Solomon Reed.
Oh, Solomon Reed.
Not a bad name, eh?
Not Solomon Mundy? Solomon Grundy.
Born on a Tuesday. Yeah, born on a Monday. All right. I will be playing the Modern Warfare 3 beta all weekend long. Pumping out those videos should be fun.
That sounds like a blast.
Yeah, I'm pumping.
That's definitely not what Jackson's doing. All right. He'll be up with Astari and making love to the Baldur's Gate 3 companions. Isn't that right, Jackson? With that being said, it's been a pleasure to be with you all this week. And we'll see you next week. Take care.